All right, we're going to continue with our post-race media availability here for today's Bank of America Roval 400. We're now joined by our race-winning crew chief, Allison. Allison.
Nice. Never heard that before.
I need to start over. Alan Gustafson. We'll take questions for Alan, not Allison. If you have one, please please raise your hand and state your name and affiliation. And who would like to kick us off? Come on, somebody wants to. All right, Deb, thank you.
Deb Williams, RacingToday.com. Congratulations. What was the damage that was done when Chase plowed into the tire barrier?
Fortunately, you know, it really wasn't much. It seemed like it pushed the hood down more than anything and kind of pushed the hood inside of the top of the fenders and kind of pushed it back into the windshield. So, and the biggest thing that we really had to do is get that back sealed up and get it down. You know, having that vented isn't the greatest thing in the world for the performance of the car. So, it was our biggest task. And as long as the splitter was intact and in good condition, no tire rubs, we were going to be in decent shape. So that was the case. We got lucky on that. I don't know how we didn't have more substantial damage than that. I think it just, you know, that went our way.
Additional questions? Okay. Go ahead.
Mike Solarte with Spectrum News. Alan, what did Chase say happened when he hit that tire barrier?
Well, he just, you know, those restarts, it's tough to time your speed. You know, when they're out there running laps, they exit that chicane pretty consistently and then, you know, have their braking marker set up. So in that situation, he was carrying a bit more speed than he had at the restart before and you know, I haven't gone back and analyzed if he braked at the same spot or drove it in a bit deeper, but nevertheless, he locked up the left front tire and unfortunately couldn't get it back and just had to go straight.
All right. Any questions in the press box?
Hello. Hey, Allison, Allison,
yes. Yes. Yeah, it was as soon as he backed it out, I was like, man, it looks pretty good. And then NBC kind of followed us. So we had great shots of the car and we could see that it just didn't sustain that much damage. And yeah, I mean, super surprised. You know, just kind of going off last year, and you know, the thing that kind of stands out is when the two did something similar and, you know, took half the field with them. So those cars were destroyed. So you know, when you see him kind of smoking it off in there like that, you're like, yeah, that's not going to be good. But it worked out for us. I don't know if the tires, I don't even know what's down there, to be honest with you. You know, if it's tire barriers or some type of foam barrier or whatever. But it seemed like it just slid up the nose of the car and ultimately didn't damage it very much.
All right, David, go ahead.
David Smith, The Athletic. Alan, per NASCAR's timing and scoring data, you had the second fastest car in the race today. Through the three road course races this year, your car ranked as the fastest. Over the last few years, Hendrick Motorsports has waned in terms of overall speed, but you've managed to maintain really good speed on road courses. How have you been able to do this?
Yeah, who was fastest today? I'm surprised we weren't fastest. Harvick was? Gotcha. Yeah, I think it starts with Chase. I think he's a good road racer. You know, we were fortunate enough. Really, where this kind of started, in my opinion, was we had a test at Watkins Glen in 2016 when he was a rookie, and we worked through a lot of things there, and we came up with a really good package that was really good and really fast and something he was very comfortable with. And unfortunately, we didn't really perform that well that year, but that is the basis. You know, that test was the basis. That's where we found the speed in the car and were able to generate a package that had a lot of pace, and we've just carried that on, you know, kind of from that point in time. I think we've run better, you know, than it shows in 16 and even this year. Obviously, we won Watkins Glen and here, and then we were third at Sonoma when we had an engine failure. So, yeah, I think it starts with him, and then that test, you know, rings to me as a place that since then we've just had a good pace and a good package that we can build on.
All right, Stephen, go ahead.
Steve Conley, the podium finish in PRN. Alan, timing is everything, and you guys right now are showing the speed that you need to. All 300 cars are into the next round. What do you guys need to move on to that round of eight, and how close are you to being where you need to be to compete for the championship?
Yeah, again? I mean, these rounds are tough. You know, this round, you can get through this round with just not making mistakes. You know, fortunately for us, we ran, you know, really well at Vegas and really good here, you know, so-so at Richmond. But they're going to get tougher. And with Talladega looming, right, you never know what's going to happen there. We're going to have to knock out top fives and win. And certainly I think to get to Homestead, if we don't win and get closer on bonus points to get to Homestead, we're going to have to win a round in that round of eight. I think the 4, the 19, the 18, I don't know, the 11, I guess. I don't know where we stack up to all those guys now. But certainly the 19 and the 18 have a lot of bonus points. So it's tough to make up that amount on those guys in three races. You know, even if you outrun them, those guys are typically consistently in the top 10, you know, scoring stage points. So for us moving forward, you know, we're going to have to be top five certainly this next round and then, you know, winning past that.
All right. Nate, I believe you had a question.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Alan, I think at one point you or Chase might have expressed some frustration on the yellows were called today, lack of yellows. Could you comment on that?
I expressed some frustration on the lineup. That was really frustrating for me. I didn't say anything about the yellows, the lineup there when we had gotten tires. I can't remember. It cycled back and some guys had stayed out and we had just beat the 4 off pit road, first car off pit road, and then they were supposed to swap the 48 and the 2, and that was what was conveyed to the spotters, and then the 48 pulled down and the 2 stayed in the bottom lane, and if he was supposed to swap to the top lane. So long story short, that puts us back a whole nother row and puts Harvick up a whole nother row. So a guy that we beat off pit road now is, you know, three spots in front of us, which is unbelievable to me, and I just don't see how you can start the race in that position. And fortunately for us, we were able to win that stage, but that put us in a bad spot. And I feel like the team and the driver and all of us had put ourselves in position where we needed to be. And then to get kind of bumped back like that. And if I don't know exactly what happened, you know, I'm not in the tower. I'm certainly not criticizing the job that those guys do. They've got a very, very tough job. But if the two was supposed to move and he didn't move, he needed to be black flagged. It's that simple. Now, if there was something that I didn't understand correctly or he wasn't supposed to move, then that's a different story. But there's really no scenario that I can understand where the 4 should be in front of us when we beat him off pit road, right? There's nothing that could transpire to me that would move him up. So that was really frustrating. Unfortunately, we came back from it, but you never know, right? I mean, that could have been the difference between that one stage point, or that could have been the difference between getting crashed or not getting crashed, or who knows what happens.
Following up on that, is this a difficult race because it's so new for everybody, NASCAR included? And when spins happen, sometimes they're yellow, sometimes they're not. Is it harder from you, from the perspective of the pit box, on figuring out what are going to be cautions and what aren't?
Yeah, I mean, my opinion on the cautions are, look, you don't want to throw them, and I think that's what they try to do. I'm assuming that's what they try to do. I'm not watching the race as intently as you guys are or they are for sure. But, you know, my comment on the cautions is you want to delay it. I mean, I've done a lot of road racing in my life and in my career, and that's, you know, pretty standard operating procedure. They leave it green until there's a point that somebody's in harm's way. And I think that's what they tried to do, what I'm assuming they tried to do. And if somebody is then ultimately in harm's way and their safety is at risk, then the caution comes out. But there's so much space, you should allow the race to transpire. And I think that's the best philosophy in the way it should happen. And, you know, the Premier Road Racing Series will do that typically. And even when cars have failures and, you know, pull off the side, as long as they're out of harm's way, they continue to race.
All right. Any final questions for Alan? All right, we're going to take one final question up front.
Mike Neff from frontstretch.com and Racing Brotherhood Foundation. Alan, you've been with Chase for a little while now, and I think a lot of us and the fans have been spoiled in recent time of the chemistry developing very quickly between drivers and crew chiefs. And there were years where that would take seasons for it ever to really gel. But you guys have been together a little bit, and it seems like you're starting to get more to that, almost finishing each other's sentences now. Do you feel like you're at that point where just by things like the inflection in Chase's voice lets you know what's going on even without him telling you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that relationship's like kind of like an arranged marriage. You never know. You kind of don't really choose your driver, and the driver doesn't really choose his crew chief in most circumstances. So you never know if you're going to see the eye to eye or you're going to get along. And I think it takes a while to build trust in a relationship and to build the foundation to know that ultimately I'm looking after his best interests and he's looking after my best interests and certainly the best interests of the team. So for us, I've been pretty fortunate. The guys I've worked with, it's not been a huge problem. And it wasn't a huge problem with Chase, and we've gotten along pretty well from the beginning. But, over time, as you go through different circumstances and different situations, that gets a bit stronger and stronger. As you have success, right, you get stronger and stronger, and that forges a better relationship and puts you in a situation where you can overcome more things and you don't waver. And the worst thing you can do is, things don't go your way. The worst thing I could do, right, is say, he made a mistake and try to blame him. And the worst thing he can do is say, well, the car did this or that and try to blame me, right? That doesn't get you anywhere. So I think if you've been through it enough and have trust and faith in each other, then, all that stuff, you just deal with it and focus on improving. And that's what we do. It's what we've always tried to do. And I think it's certainly, not getting worse and I think probably getting better because we've been having some pretty reasonable success.
Alan, thank you for spending some time with us. Congratulations again on this win.